This is an ABC podcast.
Qualifying for the Australian Open kicks off tomorrow, and the event proper kicks off next Sunday. To talk us through what we can expect from the Open, former player and member of the ABC commentary team, John Alexander. Welcome to Summer Grandstand.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an exciting time of the year.
It is.
If you're a tennis fan.
Yeah, well, it's an exciting time for all of us. We love to embrace it. And what have you learnt so far from looking across some of the lead-up games around the country? Are there little stories that have popped up from players that have been putting in good or not-so-good performances?
Well, I've learned a little bit in the last week. Last night I learned that Coco Gauff is in great form.
Yeah.
And against Huerta, she was absolutely magnificent, a convincing win. And a couple of nights before that, I got to see Alex de Minaur live at the United Cup against Kocic. And you don't realise how quick he is until you see the match up close. You know, we had nice seats close to the centre court. And his speed about the court was just phenomenal. Unfortunately, that's offset by his serving is really letting him down. He's in his first match, which he lost, he served 8 double faults. But it's because he's getting such a low percentage of first serves in. It's something under 40% of first serves in, which means if you serve 100 balls, you're serving 60-second serves. And so, therefore, you've got 60 chances to serve a double fault, numeric. But he's really got a, you know, I think he's, there's a great story of when Rod Laver was having problems and he got his coach, Charlie Hollis, his boyhood coach, to come and look at him play. And Charlie's observations of Rod at the time was that, Rod, you're a little man. You're trying to play like a big man. You're trying to serve big. You're not a big server. You're a skillful server. And in trying to serve big, you're getting very few first serves in, and your second serve's a bit dodgy, actually, old son. And that's exactly what's happening with Alex. He's trying to hit at 210, and his first serve percentage is way down. At a critical moment, in 11 first serves, he only got 2 in, which means his second serve's sitting there, you know, ready to be whacked, and that's what's happening. So he needs to get somebody in his ear to get him to serve smart, not big, and then he has a real chance to win the Australian.
And it becomes a bit of a mental issue, doesn't it, too, John? You've got to fight those demons out of your head in addition to fixing the serve.
Oh, there's a little bit of a Freudian slip there, wasn't there? The demon's got some demons.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yes. No pun intended. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think it is. And sometimes, yeah, the initial reaction, you know, is to try harder. And in Alex's case, he's hitting harder, but, you know, he's making more errors. You know, he's got to give himself a little bit more margin, a little bit more room for error, play a little bit more variety with the first serves, serve more intelligently, and really monitor how many first serves you're getting in out of 10 and do that regularly over a couple of games. So you can have a bad game where you might drop down to 50% of first serves in, but you've got to look, am I pressing too much? Am I not getting the ball high enough at the point of impact that we're not getting full extension? You've got a few little check things that you should be going through. But other than that, he was playing magnificently. I mean, his speed about the court and his, you know, ground game and his volleying game is great. And he should play doubles. He was with the biggest name in tennis, the greatest name in tennis, Storm Hunter. Isn't that the greatest name?
Oh, fantastic name.
That they were magnificent against the Czechs. They were fantastic.
That's, if you were starting a wrestling career and you had to come up with a name, you'd call yourself Storm Hunter.
Yeah. I got a big kick. I claim I'm the first one to say this, the greatest name in tennis. You know, and the other thing is, you know, you get caught out by saying, yeah, the number one tennis player in Australia is actually Anthony Albanese. I mean, there's nobody keener on a game of tennis than our Prime Minister.
he does love it. We look forward to a bit of that as part of the ABC commentary, John, over the next few weeks. And we're due, though, for a win, aren't we, on the men's side of the draw? Because this is the anniversary. It's been 50 years since Mark Edmondson won the title in 1976. And a reminder to people as well, I think a lot of people would have forgotten about this or never realised, he was ranked going into that tournament 212 in the world.
And he was working as a janitor weeks before.
Amazing.
The great stories. He was working as a janitor. He was doing anything to get by. And he's gone down and he's beaten some of the biggest names in the game, including Ken Rosewall and then John Newcombe in the final. It was a terribly windy day in the final. The match was suspended at various stages during the final because of the wind, the strength of the wind. He won in 1976. I'm too modest to tell you who beat him in 1975.
Okay. yes.
But what a great character. And he was also one of the great Davis Cup players for Australia too. And I see him, you know, quite regularly, and he's pretty chuffed about coming down and still being the last Australian to win the Open. And we had a lovely gathering the other day with Bill Bowrey, who has won the last Australian Championship in 1968 before it went open. So the first Open event was 1969, which Rod Laver won. Yeah, he won a lot of things around that time, but he went on to win the Grand Slam that year.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting bit of history that links, you know, the great man Rod Laver and Bill Bowrey is married to Leslie Turner, who is maybe our third greatest woman player of all time. She'd won the French and the Italian, and I always say she did something that Margaret Court and Billie Jean King could never do, who were the preeminent players at the time. In both events, Leslie beat both Billie Jean King and Margaret Court in both of those events.
Wow.
So she was and just a lovely, lovely person, beautiful player, a lovely couple. We've got beautiful children. Bill is one of one of the forgotten people of Australian tennis. Great, great person.
We love recapping some of these fantastic stories from years gone by. But looking ahead now to the Oz Open, let's go to Alcaraz first. Champion player, but he just hasn't been able to get it done, Carlos Alcaraz, at the Australian Open. Can you think of a reason why it's been a bit of a stumbling block for him?
Well, sometimes it's to do with their preparation, their off-season preparation. Are they playing lead-up tournaments? What is their routine of preparing for the Open? Agassi had a great routine for preparing and come very strong. But the problem that Carlos has this year is he's broken from his long-term coach. And this is instigated largely by his father. And often parents get too involved. But this has been a great relationship. Carlos has won more Grand Slams, finished the year at number one in the world, than any player in the history to this age. So, right. You know, whatever you're doing, you should be keeping doing it. But he's going against the preeminent players of he and Sinner. Sinner won it last year. But when you look at how Sinner won it last year, my God, he was lucky. Medvedev had him dead for, you know, all money in the final, having exhausted himself in the semifinal. He decided he had to play different, and he decided to go out and go for it. And he was magnificent. He developed a new part of his game, and he was getting the better, but just couldn't push the ball over the line. And Sinner, just scraped through and then, went on to, it's very interesting. People forget the French. He had triple match point with serving for the match against Alcaraz, which would have given him the first two legs of the Grand Slam. Then he wins Wimbledon. He wasn't far off. He was one point off having the first three legs of the Grand Slam last year. So while these two are the preeminent players, as long as there is a pulse in Djokovic, don't count him out. He did get to four semifinals last year, so he's a real chance. But the Sinner and Alcaraz have won all of the last eight Grand Slam events between them. It's a domination that's rarely been achieved before. And when you look at the women's event, you had four different winners in the Grand Slams last year. So it's far more open, but just the same, you look at the way these guys get through the finals, they rarely get through unchallenged. They have a lucky escape or incredibly courageous when they're facing defeat and can fight back from the impossible. But there's a lot of excitement that happened over those 2 weeks in Melbourne.
I'm talking to Australian tennis legend John Alexander, who's part of the ABC commentary team for the Australian Open. Are you brave enough to give us a tip, John, for the men's and women's draws?
Look, for something like 25 years, I commentated for Channel 7. I always said the same thing. I know who's going to win. I know what the score is. But if I told you, it would spoil all the fun. And if I had any idea who's going to win, I'd be a very wealthy man. That's the excitement. Look, we had a trainer called Les Grano. He's fantastic. trainer, and he used to say anything can happen in a stick and a ball sport. So he'd call tennis a stick and a ball sport. And it is possible for any of these players to actually be beaten in the first round, men's and women's, because the depth is so great. And, you know, a player ranked 80 in the world can have wins over the number one player in the world.
Yeah.
And, you know, it depends how the draw is. It depends how these matchups happen. You often have a strange situation where one can beat two, two can beat three, but three beats one. And, you know, it's how these draws come out. The old story that Pete Sampras used to say is, you can't win the tournament in the first week, but you can lose it, meaning you can get run into the ground in the first week and be depleted and not be at your best in the semifinals or the finals when you need to be. Or suffering like Djokovic, for him to win one of these events, he's got to beat both Sinner and Alcaraz, most likely. And at 38 years of age, that is a big, it's a big task for anyone, but at 38 years of age, that much more difficult. But you know, it's going to be a fascinating couple of weeks. There's new players coming through. Alex, if he can get some common sense into his serve and get some really good advice and work on moderating his first serve. And look, there's some great sayings that Pancho Gonzalez, who had a great serve, he played in the 50s and the 60s. He used to say, a bad first serve is a whole lot better than a good second serve. And there's a few of these little things that you know, any first serve in, because you know you're free to go out wide, or you're free to go down the center or at the body, anything on the first serve. Second serve, you're really constrained and just trying to get the ball in and hopefully into their back end. So it's very predictable, and so therefore you know any first serve is better than a second serve. And his speed, he should be looking at the opportunity to serve and volley sometimes. Which you know, if you're only getting 40% of your first serves in, you'd be running in needlessly 60% of the time. So. I just hope he gets good advice, because he's got the mentality, he's got the temperament to win these big events. And he's been a quarterfinalist a number of times. He wants to get through to the semi-final. But once you're into the quarterfinal, yeah, you everyone in the draw has got a chance at that point.
Yeah, everyone in Australia will be cheering for him. There's no question about that. And final question, Venus Williams, we're very excited to have her here at the age of 45. Do you think she can get through a few rounds?
Well, this entirely depends on the draw, because her matchup, the type of player that she plays against, if she plays the right style of player, she could dominate. If she plays someone who's very quick and can match her pace, she could be looking like she is 45. She is a great player. The Williams sisters have done things that will never be repeated. They played each other in seven Grand Slam finals out of eight. And that's never happened in women's tennis between any two players, even when King and Court dominated, or Everett and Navratilova dominated, or Celeste and Graf dominated. They didn't play in that many Grand Slam finals. So for two sisters to do that, that is unlikely to ever be beaten. And, you know, it's wonderful, just the chance to see it. Doesn't matter whether she wins or loses, just to see her play again, I think, is a lifetime opportunity. It's not to be missed. It should be on your bucket list. I have offered to make a return if she's like a mixed doubles partner.
Yes.
Of course, you know, you'd have to get an age handicap going. You know, we'd have to give it like 30 points every game or something.
You don't need an age handicap. Hey, John T, did you get an invite to play in the $1 million 1 point tournament?
No. They've lost by a dress, I'm afraid.
Okay.
but interesting concept. Yeah, a lot of innovation at the Australian Open. It is the best of the Opens. It has the best venue. It has the greatest sporting city in the world. And I hate to say that because I'm from Sydney. But and we have the strongest draw. And we have the highest attendance. It'll be over 1 million people again. And cricket was just talking about sport tourism, or the number of foreigners that come to see the Australian Open and, you know, stimulates the Australian economy. It's a great contributor, and it's a great sport. And it's just 2 weeks of celebrating this great sport.
Yeah, and the buzz will start to build tomorrow with the qualifying rounds, and where you can catch all the action on the ABC, of course. And John Alexander will be a part of that. Thanks for your time on Summer Grandstand, John.
Thank you for talking to me.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.